Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of Shaking Hands. I'm your host, Jack Moran. You can find me on Instagram at Blue Collar Kid. That is Blue Collar K-E-H-D. We have an awesome guest today, a longtime friend of mine, Killian Dunn. He's an investigative author who's written 4 books thus far and also a screenwriter that's living out here in L.A. and doing some really cool things. How we doing, Killian?
Good, mate. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I kind of give you a little background on what we do with the podcast. You know, it's a platform to get people who are chasing their dreams to share their stories in hopes to kind of catalyze the decision for someone else who may be in the rat race to, you know, make the leap to chasing their own passions. Because, you know, I firmly believe that when you chase your passion, that's the best contribution that you can make to the world. But we kind of always start off by talking about your story. How did you get into entrepreneurship? How'd you, you know, start off writing? What were kind of the stages that got you like where you are today?
Yeah, like you said, I've written 4 books. I wrote my first book when I was 22. I was still in college. And I before that, I just kind of like dicked around writing screenplays and like little short stories and all that because I love storytelling. But I started writing books actually because I went through like a breakup. My ex-girlfriend at the time like broke up with me. I was in Dublin like with nothing else to do and I was like, fuck it, I'll just write a book. So I did it, started it and did it, and it was like, it was an awesome feeling, but it wasn't very good at all. But I just kind of like loved the feeling of doing something for myself and finishing it. So I kept doing it, and then that eventually led into the investigative stuff. And what sort of really tipped me over the edge in terms of like going out on my own to do it and not sort of just like dicking around doing it was at the very end of college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do whatsoever, but I was just writing a lot. And I had one piece of, it was my first piece of writing that was sort of like, you could say it was like critically acclaimed or whatever you would call it. Like anybody who read us like really liked us, and there were, it won like a few competitions and it was like recognized in this like industry platform thing. So yeah, so I just decided to move out to LA. But when I moved out to LA, I was still sort of like living with that fear. Like I was working like a 9-to-5 job and I was doing this. So I was working like crazy days. I was like up at whatever. I was up at 7, 8. No, I was up early, I was up at 5:30 to work East Coast hours for my job. Finish at like 2:30. And then I would write from like 3 to like 9 or 10 or something like that. So I was doing 2 full-time jobs, essentially. And then last May, about a year ago, I just said, you know, fuck the 9-to-5. And I started writing full-time. And I was like, I just have to, you know, just find a way to make money doing this.
Right. So what's that leap kind of been like, jumping in head first into entrepreneurship and into your passion, like not having the comfort of the job anymore?
It was awesome at first, and then I went through a real dark patch where I was like, fuck, I have no money. And then I just sort of like, I had no money and shit, and I just sort of like kind of pushed through it. I was like, okay, like, you know, the point of no return, like, what do they say? Like, burn the ships. That's like a, yeah, burn the ships. It's like a phrase, like, there's no, you can't return.
Right.
So I like had burned the ships months back, and I was like, okay, I got to just like keep writing. And I wrote this book that's here on the table. I just like I do investigative stuff, but I just went out independently and interviewed like a former Crip in South Central LA and wrote like a prison book about his experiences and interviewed like prison wardens and just literally just like cold called prisons to like build this story. And that was sort of like a Kickstarter. Like I did that and then good things started coming my way because I went like all in on this and essentially did nothing else for like 3 or 4 months with like zero income.
So how long is that book? It's
208 pages, like 60, it's like 62,000 words, which to like compare to something, like The Great Gatsby is only like 50,000 words or something. So you can read it in one sitting if you're like a really fast reader, but to write it was like 2 or 3 months.
And how much time is that per day you're putting into?
I was putting in like 7 or 8 hours a day, like just on this, like strictly on this, but it's like 1,200 words per day at least. And that's just like Stephen King's model. And Stephen King is super prolific. So I was like, if I just follow what he does work ethic wise, like I'll get books done. And it works. It's like you just have like a word limit and it could take you 8 hours, it could take you 2, but usually it takes like longer than than a couple hours, because you just want to make sure everything like is good and grammatically it's correct and stuff like that.
So are you working on any projects right now, like actively?
Yeah, I'd say realistically, I'm coming to like the tail end of one project down in Panama. Yeah, Panamanian story. It's really cool. Won't be able to talk about it too much, but I'd say like the Cliff Notes version, it's sort of like a Cold War political espionage kind of thing. And it's super cool. It's investigative as well. It definitely is a step up from this, but that's good. That's like honestly what I was looking for, because every book I'd like to make it like way more challenging. And it's super challenging, but it's also like that's where it actually is fun. Like if I was just writing like the same shit over and over again, I'd get really bored. Like that was part of the reason for just like absolutely hating my 9-to-5. Just so monogamous. Like it's like every day is the exact same. It's like a carbon copy of the last day. And people seem to just be like delusional with themselves. Like you're just kind of like fucking like monkeys in a factory.
So what's kind of like the process when you're doing like these investigative books? It's kind of like an interrogation, right? You have to like extract the information from the people. Like, you know, how do you kind of go about that?
Yeah, it might not be the best analogy, but I describe it as wading through water. So like you're trying to get to the deep end where like all of really cool information is. But like if you dive right into the deep end, like you might drown. You know what I mean? Like if you dive right in, you might drown. So you got to wade your way out there. So you got to wade through all the bullshit that like you really don't care about. Like, you know, you talk about more personal stuff with the subject that you're speaking with. You talk about surface level stuff with this guy, Dave, for this book. You know, we started it. He murdered people when he was a teenager. That's why he went to prison. But we started out talking about, you know, his favorite like restaurants, or like talking about like chicks. Like, you seen any girls right now? Like, how's that going? And you just kind of build and establish
trust.
Yeah,
you got to build some rapport. And
yeah. And then, you know, once you get, because the subject isn't stupid, like they know why they're being interviewed and they know what you want. But you just have to like sort of like build the nucleus is like the really interesting stuff, and you just have to build the story from the outside in.
Has everyone been like super cooperative, or have you had to deal with?
Sort of. It's like, it's pretty 50-50. Some people are super cooperative, but everybody wants to be well represented, when in fact that like not everybody can be like 100% well represented. So they're going to tell you what you want to hear. Right. You just have to decipher what's bullshit and what isn't, and then, you know, use your best judgment. And also, like, research outside of the interviews is huge as well.
So this book, Dreams in Incarceration, were you ever, like, nervous with the, you know, doing the
with interview? Dave? Yeah. Honestly.
he's rehabilitated now.
He's totally rehabilitated. Yeah, he's the man. I'm actually friends with him. Like, my mom was here in LA like 3 weeks ago, and I introduced her to him. Like, we went and got coffee.
No way.
Yeah, he's the man. I absolutely love him. He's got like a wicked dark past, but he did his time. Like, he's super rehabilitated. He's kind of like a motivational speaker now. That's like his ultimate goal. So he's going all in, trying to like make that happen. And yeah, he's doing good work. He's the man.
How old was he when he got like released from?
He was like 32, maybe 33 when he got released. He was 17 when he was like tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I think it's a testament that you can, you know, so many people are worried when they leave college about what they're going to do. And it's like, you can literally fuck up the next 10 years of your life, and like second chances do exist.
Dude, 100%. While I was writing the book rather, because I write my books in first person. So like I get inside the mind of the person that I'm interviewing, and then I write it how I feel like they would progress through their own story, with almost like internal commentary like along the way. I just find that really interesting. That's why I kind of just like picked a narrative and just like stuck with it to become like an expert at it. He did his time, dude. Like that, he had to go through some like dark shit, and I fully believe that he's earned like his second chance. But like he really had to work for it, and he knew that he had to work for it.
So you were saying before like how you kind of taking the full dive now, you don't have that comfortable backing of a job. What was it kind of like with your peers and your surroundings and your family? Was it full support, or you have some haters? Because I've always found like this journey of entrepreneurship and doing your own thing and like not following the traditional path is an anomaly. There's not many people that are doing it, unfortunately. So when you go out for that external feedback, it's not, I mean, at least in my own experience, it's typically not positive, because people don't relate to it very well. So Yeah. They're, you know, they'd rather steer you back to the traditional and the conventional, which unless you have the confidence can be daunting. Like you may want to go back to that comfort.
Yeah, dude, for sure. There were a couple of times it's funny. There was like an exact moment. I was after I finished this book, I kind of like didn't really know what I was doing. Like, it was great doing this and it was totally worth it. But there was like a week where like I was really freaking out. I didn't have much money at all. Didn't know what I was doing. And I was interviewing for full-time jobs again. And then I got that call about the Panama book.
Yeah.
I swear to God, like I got the call about the
it's
Panama book.
It's funny how that works out like that, you know?
Yeah. And I called the guy that I was about to do a final interview. The guy like really wanted me to work for his company. And I called him and I was like, hey, I'm going to Panama. Like, I'm not going to do this.
And Lifeline is a way of like steering you in the right direction.
For sure. Yeah. And I'm also big on like manifesting, not sound like an LA cunt or anything. I'm manifesting. Yeah. I think you like, if you constantly are thinking about something, like it's in some way, shape or form, it's going to happen.
Right.
I don't know. I think for me in terms of like support or whatever, I'd say like my core friend group, really supportive, like very insanely supportive. Like they always sort of have been. Family was like, my mom, extremely supportive. My dad took a little bit of time to come around. Brother, very supportive. But like outside of that, you know, people, I'm sure you get this, like you've gotten this as well, but like people will, when they're talking to you like in person, they'll pretend sometimes that they're like really supportive and they're like, oh, you know, you're writing books, like good for you. And then behind your back, they're like, that guy's a fucking bum. Like, this fucking guy doesn't do shit. Like, he just smokes weed all day and writes. It's like, no, fuck you. Like, this takes way more time than you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, at the end of the day, like, it bothered me at first. Like, I really have been, like, a people pleaser my whole life. But I just got to a certain point where I was like, I just don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah, that's the way to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And at the end of the day, like, those people will come back around. And it's like, if you're judging someone else for, like, chasing their dreams, it's because you're usually projecting what you're not doing.
Yeah.
You were talking about manifesting. Do you have like a process that you go through? You know, I talk about it. You're controlling your reality by being congruent. Like what your goals are congruent with what you're doing every single day. Do you have a process that you go through to like, is it like affirmations? Like how do you manifest and keep yourself aligned with your path?
I would say, yeah, affirmations is probably the right word to use. Like I really just make sure that I'm thinking about what I want all the time. You know what I mean? Like it, and I guess like to like a lot of people, that sounds exhausting. You know what I mean? Because people love to turn off their brains. And like one thing, this is kind of a tangent I'll come back to, but like one thing that I fucking hated about working in an office or like 9 to 5, and it's just, I feel like it's such a relevant example. I had coworkers that would get to work at like 7 or 7:30. They would work and they would put in hard work. Like they would work till like 7 o'clock at night or whatever. To wind down, they would come home, sit on their couch and watch The Office, the TV show. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like that is just so miserable. It made me so depressed that like people did that. You know what I mean?
Can't escape it.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing to your mind? Like you're fucking rotting your brain by doing shit like that. So also am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, good. I've sweared like 30 times.
No, we're at the point of no return now.
Yeah, burn the ships, burn the fucking ships. In terms of, I just think about it all the time. It's a total obsession. Like I've got a very obsessive brain, but it benefits me because you have to be like, exactly like you. Like you wouldn't be able to build EI if you weren't obsessed. You know what I mean? Like I'm obsessed with this stuff and I just, all I want to do is just like write. And I just want to like write good stories, like whether they're books or screenplays or whatever. Like that's all I care about. And I'll do whatever it takes to like get exactly where I want to be.
And I talked about like congruence and incongruence before. To be successful, like really successful, it doesn't take 40 hours a week. You know, it takes a lot of time. And I find that if you're not doing what you're passionate about and what you like, and you don't have that obsession, it's impossible to put in the amount of time that it requires to be successful. It's not sustainable. You will burn out if you're, you know, hating your life, if you're looking forward to the weekend. Like if you're passionate and you're chasing what you want, what you're obsessed with, it's nothing to put in 70 hours a week. It's nothing to think about it constantly because it's what you're already thinking about. And when you do that, it truly does manifest into reality. And like those outcomes start coming into your control. Do you agree?
Yeah. Oh, dude, big time. I feel like there's so much time in the week, but at the same time, like there's not enough, you know what I mean? It's like, people, like, even people that do work, like, full-time jobs, like, 40 hours is not that much. You, like, if you really wanted to, like, you could have a side hustle and, like, you can make it work and you can build to the point where, like, you're making a more comfortable leap. You know, it's like, I'll always put in, like, the exact amount of time necessary. Sometimes, like, actually, it never falls below, it would never fall below 40, but it would, like, fluctuate between, like, 80 and 60. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, because I work on the weekends too, obviously, and it would fluctuate between like 80 and 60. And that, it still doesn't, it still feels like I could be doing more. Like, there's definitely some writer out there that's working like 90 or 100. You know what I mean?
And
like,
you don't necessarily have to be writing 80 hours or doing your job 90 hours a week, but it's like being congruent that what you are doing is aligned with that path. So I, you know, I'm a firm believer that you have to take care of your body and you have to be healthy and like putting in those hours to go to the gym or going to, you know, get a massage or go to the spa and to meditate. Those things are all congruent with your path. They support the foundation that allows you to be successful. So it's not, you know, necessarily putting in 80 hours a week working and writing or, you know, me building EI, but it's like putting in that time, everything that I'm doing somehow is correlated to that path.
Yeah.
Have you dealt with any adversity along this path? I mean, obviously I think that's a big thing we talk about on this podcast is like, the biggest reason why people get steered away from entrepreneurship is because they have a negative connotation with adversity. But it, when you're plummeting down a path that's unknown, it's kind of expected. And if you can expect that adversity, it's easier to deal with than, you know, a lot of people, they come to this adversity and it's scary because there's a fear of the unknown and they go back to the comfort, which you never achieve your goals that way. So have you dealt with like any adversity or...
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, anything to do with like writing or literature, like art is just, it's always like, it's really subjective. So it's hypercritical. Just in terms of like any adversity or challenges, like I'd say, getting over like criticisms, it was really helpful, but like not necessarily like getting over. I think it's one thing to sort of just like ignore the hate, but it's another thing to like understand where it's coming from, internalize it and like adapting. So when it comes to writing, you know, received a shitload of criticism at first. Like my books, my first book, like was not very good at all. My second one was all right. Second one eventually got published, which is great. And it just added like a little bit of credibility. But like, oh my God, my editor like shredded me. My publisher like shredded me. Like it's like every book is like an extension of you to some degree. So like you really feel us, you know? And then outside of that, outside of the art, marketing has been insanely difficult or like standing out from the crowd, but I've sort of just learned and I'm still learning like a lot, but I've sort of just learned that like the way that I push through it, and I'm sure it's like a very like common experience, but like literally just, I just put my head down and just like fucking charge right through the challenge and, you know, pick up like little pieces of information, like learn along the way. But yeah, I feel like, I just sort of like, I don't really like think as much as I do now. I will think about things like that are very important. And if there needs to be a strategy, like, of course, I'll sit down and plan. But in terms of like action, I just, you know.
Adversity itself has such a negative connotation, but I don't think that it has to be like failure and adversity. It's really just like the stress and the pain is the cost of learning. And that knowledge is what allows you to re-channel your path to get you online with whatever your goal is. And eventually, if you keep repeating that path and or process and keep getting through that adversity, eventually it's going to transact and intersect with your goal.
Yeah.
What is your definition of success? Like, you're at this place, you look around and you're like, okay, Killian made it.
Huh. That's such a, because I think about this quite a bit. When will I be happy doing what I'm doing? Like, I'm already happy, but, like, when will I feel like I've, like, sort of, like, earned where I'm at? And I think that, I think that I'm big on sort of, like, freedom. So, working is great, and I get a lot of pleasure out of, like, just the act of working. But I also think that all of the beauties of life come from, like, when you're sort of, like, personally satisfied, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I do like to have a drink and like have a good time and all that, but like I don't like to do that when I don't feel like I've earned it. And the older I'm getting and the deeper I'm going into this, the less I feel like I've earned that, because I have like bigger goals that take longer to reach. So I think when I think of success, I think of literally just like reaching like goals, like bigger and bigger goals. And I think I have a problem with like not stopping every once in a while and like looking around and say, oh shit, like I've reached like all these goals and like in terms of success I want to have, like I'm on my path. But yeah, I don't know. Like I don't really have like an overall goal, like a number one goal, other than like I would like to be, when I die, I would like for my work to like live on in eternity. That's like a fucking bullshit way of
that's pretty sick.
Yeah, like I want my writing to like live on in eternity. Like I would love for my name to be up there with like Stephen King or like Hemingway or whatever, like Kerouac, like all people who are like recognizable names for their writing. You know what I mean? And that is the ultimate goal. And but I don't think that is like also what success will be, because like I do believe in personal happiness. Like I think I would love to have like a wife and kids like one day. I think that's like another, I think that's for a lot of people, like having like a good family is you know, an idea of success, or you know, little things like that. I just want to be happy, you know?
Sometimes I feel like the universe talks to me a little bit and is like, okay, like if you want this goal, like, and you want to, you know, achieve this success that I've defined, you have to do this. And it like burns within me. I'm like, and I know whether or not I'm actually executing what I need to. Do you know what path you have to take to get yourself to being on that Stephen King level or the Kerouac level?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I do. I have the same feeling. I think with me, it's literally just, first of all, it's writing like every day, no matter what, like writing every day. You could be having the worst day of your life, but on the worst days of your life, that's when you get like the best writing, which is really ironic.
A lot of emotion is like coming through.
Exactly. Yeah. If you like, nobody likes a happy writer. You know what I mean? We like our writers depressed as fuck and like on the verge of suicide. Those are the best writers. Totally. I think like writing every day, and then also in terms of like the content that I'm writing or in terms of the stories that I'm exploring, I think like actually resonance with the reader, or like if it's like for movies, resonance with the viewer is really important. Like I would love for my stories to, it's so hard to explain, because I write like really dark stuff, but I love like placing pockets of light in like really dark places. Because I think that's how the world actually is for a lot of people. It's like the world is really dark for a lot of people, but if you can find the light, then you can like continue going on. So like that's what I do with the books. Like I place pockets of light
in
stories that are otherwise like relatively dark. You know, they're not like horror books or anything like that. But
that's really interesting.
Yeah. So that's sort of like my mission, is to like, I don't want to say like inspire people, because it's not really like inspiring stories, but just like captivation and resonance. I want my writing to like resonate with people however they see fit,
you know? Yeah, and I've gotten a chance to like read some of your stuff recently, and I think it definitely does. So you're
oh, thanks.
Yeah, you're,
cheers.
You're on the path. This is an interesting question I like to ask. Like, what is one thing Killian today would tell Killian who just started out? Like, what kind of advice would you give yourself if there's one piece of advice?
Oh man, be open to change. Be open to change. When I first started out, I was really stubborn about like the way I did things. And then I was forced into like understanding different perspectives. Like it was sort of like a gentle force, but people like that were my, I guess like they were my peers, but they just like were very familiar with like who I was and how I wrote and what I was trying to write. They're like, okay, maybe you should like think about things differently, or like you should read this book or whatever. So I was wicked stubborn when I first started out. If I wasn't so stubborn when I first started out, maybe I'd be a little bit further right now. But it also just like, you can't change the past. So I don't like, you know.
No regrets.
I don't linger on that idea. But I do know that if I was more open to change when I first started, or like more open to learning, I would say, I'd be in a better spot than I'm in right now.
And I'll kind of wrap it up with this question. Is there any piece of advice you could just give somebody who may be on the cusp, has a conviction that they want to follow this dream or this passion, and they haven't quite, you know, made the leap yet? What would you say to them?
I think just do it. You know what I mean? Just like, just fucking jump. Like,
yeah, what's to lose?
Yeah, what's to lose? And also like, we're like, in the grand scheme of things, we're young guys. Like, I don't get what all the fuss is about. You know what I mean? Like, if we went bankrupt tomorrow, if we go broke tomorrow, it wouldn't really be that bad. You know what I mean?
I agree completely.
It wouldn't be that bad, dude. Like, I was on the verge of homelessness in January.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like you're not going to become homeless. Like at the end of the day, you're a smart kid. Yeah. Like you can find a job. It's
you can find a job. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can do something. Like I started doing, I was like financially, I was in a bad spot. Just like working, like writing over the last few months, just because I put everything into the books. And so I started doing like freelance copywriting, literally just like cold outreach to 100 businesses a day. And I picked up like 3 or 4 clients. And now I think by the end of April, maybe like the middle of May, I will be making as much as I was from my 9-to-5 job as I'll be making as much as I was in my 9-to-5 job as I am now doing fucking freelance copywriting.
You know what I mean? Unbelievable. And congratulations that,
oh, thank you. It's literally just like, I just did it.
And anyone has the ability to do it. It's just like having the confidence to like finally make that leap.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
So is there anywhere, like, where can people go find your books? Like, where can they find you if they want to reach out to you, have any questions?
My Instagram is dunne.killian, dunne.killian. Instagram. And then my books are pretty much all on Amazon. You can get them in a few different places, but Amazon is the cheapest and the best.
All right, Killian. Well, I appreciate you coming out, and it was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, dude. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, that concludes episode 4 of Shaking Hands. I'm your host, Jack Moran. You can find me on Instagram at Blue Collar Kid. That is Blue Collar KEHD. If you like the show, please subscribe and tune in again. Reach out to me on Instagram if you have any questions or feedback or suggestions for people you want to have on the show or questions that you'd like to be answered. But other than that, tune in next time for more interesting conversations and guests. Thanks, guys. Thank you.